Hey.
Welcome back, or welcome to the first, welcome for the first time.
Welcome for the very first time
to this episode of
the Flick Chicks Podcast.
Yay!
Yay! I'm Jane Moore.
And I'm Allison Dodge. And our podcast is edited and produced by Liam Mandelbaum.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah! Jane, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It was a pretty good day. It was nice and rainy, which is nice. I watched Observe and Report, which is a great movie with Seth Rogen. Really fun. Yeah, how was your day?
It was rainy, so that means I had a bad day. But both of my classes were canceled.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was really awesome. I knew one of them was going to be canceled, but didn't know the other one was going to be. Mm. So that was exciting. And I'm doing pretty well. We got new lamps.
Yeah, we did get new lamps.
They're really nice. I like them. They're glass.
Ooh.
I know. A little nervous because we have Podrick, but I think it'll be okay.
That's true. I think so.
But yeah, I'm so incredibly excited about this movie that we're doing today because, so usually Jane does the research because I can't be bothered, but.
But I did very minimal research on this.
Jane went and saw the movie, which is what she means by minimal.
I looked at the thing that you sent me.
Right. The night after we saw it.
That you did the work for and that you just sent me.
But I've never made notes for this before, but I have 5 pages of notes today.
When she goes hard.
I do. So today the movie we're talking about is Jordan Peele's newest movie, Us.
Mm.
I'm gonna ask our producer Liam to leave the room because this is where the spoilers start. And
get out of here.
He's seeing it tomorrow.
Okay. So just, you know, as always, spoiler alert. Way spoiler alert.
Yeah. We're gonna completely ruin this movie for you. And it's a fairly new movie.
Mm-hmm.
We actually saw it, I think, the weekend it came out.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to do it immediately after that, but then I was like, no, we gotta wait.
Yeah.
Because we gotta give it at least a couple of weeks for people to see it.
Yeah, definitely.
So we finally get to talk about Us.
She's Jordan very excited.
Peele's 2019 new horror film.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so excited. And a lot of people who have seen this movie have actually requested this from us. So if you haven't seen it, I would really suggest going to see it. It's
great.
Very good movie.
So good. So scary. If you love horror, it's amazing. And also Lupita Nyong'o just delivers on every caliber that you possibly can.
Literally. So I have divided my notes into 3 sections called the good, the bad, and the conspiracies.
How long did you work on that title?
No time.
Wow.
That just came off the top of my head.
Wow. You know, honestly, comedic genius right over here.
If I wasn't doing this, I'd be doing stand-up for sure.
I would love to see your stand-up.
I was thinking about a bit the other day with stand-up. I can't remember what it was, but I remember being like, oh, that's good. That's good.
Oh, she's good.
Oh, she's good. Let's start with the good, because I do think this movie...
It's very good. It's very scary.
It's very... Yeah, I was definitely, like, peeing my pants. So I think the number one... best part of this movie is the acting.
Oh, Lupita.
Yeah, she is so good. Honestly, I don't think this movie would be half as good if it didn't have the actors it did.
Yeah, no, for sure. She just, she's just phenomenal in everything I've ever seen her in.
Yeah.
And honestly, just her in this, I think she's like probably the best scream queen I've seen.
So good.
So good. She is amazing.
And all the actors had such a range with their ability to play both themselves and their tether.
Yeah, and you can't even tell a lot of the time that it's them, especially with the little girl.
It legitimately feels like it's 2 different people, even though you're like...
They're the same.
They're the same actor. This is wild.
Yeah.
Everyone was like that. It was really, really a very good movie.
Yes. Her voice that she does, the... Oh,
scary.
So scary.
So scary.
So good, but sad at the same time when you find out the ending.
Yeah, I actually went into this movie... without having even seen the trailer or anything, all I knew was it was Jordan Peele's
the
new
trailer
movie.
Doesn't give anything away. Like, it was
really?
Such good marketing. Like,
really?
Like, I didn't, no clue.
Really? I literally had no idea what it was about.
Yeah.
At all.
All it tells you is that, like, oh, it's themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's all it says is that they're getting attacked by people who look like them.
Yeah. So, so good. So, yeah, the acting... phenomenal.
Whew.
I thought the cinematography was very, very
beautiful.
Very beautiful
movie. Gorgeous.
But I thought cinematography was really, really great.
It's a gorgeous movie.
The costuming was really, really great.
Do you want to say your favorite part about the costuming?
What was my favorite part?
The Howard sweatshirt.
Oh, I love the Howard University sweatshirt. I love it so much.
She like mentioned it. She was like, that's the best part
it's
of the whole
star
movie.
It's the show, honestly. I love it. Okay. And then I guess I'm going to talk about, I thought the references were very clever in the film. It made so many references. They actually made so many that I went ahead and just wrote them down.
Yes, I want to hear about it. I don't even know about this.
So, the VHS tapes in the very beginning and just 80s culture in general is probably the largest callback that the film makes. And the film is set originally in the 80s, like the flashback scenes or whatever are set in the 80s. So 1986, I believe. So things like Michael Jackson's like Thriller is called in, and that's obviously very timely. But at the very beginning, when we're watching the Hands Across America ad at the very, very beginning.
Yes.
We pan over a bunch of VHSs. I'm just going to read what some of them were.
Ooh.
Because they all are kind of callbacks to this movie. It's very interesting. So The Man with Two Brains is an old Steve Martin comedy, and it plays with the theme of duality.
Oh, my goodness.
C-H-U-D, Chud, is a movie about monsters that come out of the sewer. So obviously similar to Where the Tethered Come From. Mm-hmm. The Right Stuff is a movie about a government program that included animal experimentation and resulted in human death.
Oh my God, I'd love to see that movie.
Red tells Adelaide that the Tethered were created as a result of a government experiment that gone wrong. And The Goonies is a comedy about a group of kids who go underground treasure hunting and face dangerous obstacles.
I love The Goonies.
Yeah.
Such a good movie.
In addition to the VHS tapes, The Goonies is referenced in Easter eggs throughout the movie. So, Red at one point says, it's our time up here, which mirrors the Goonies line, down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
That's interesting.
It also really heavily references Lost Boys, in fact, which is a movie about vampires, boys who are vampires.
I really need to watch that movie.
It's a weird movie. I like it, though.
Isn't Kieran Culkin in it?
I have no idea.
He's my favorite Culkin brother. Favorite Culkin sibling, actually, out of all of them, for sure.
Screw you, Macaulay.
Yeah.
Home Alone, not even that good.
Not even that good.
I'm just kidding. It's a masterpiece.
I'll take Rory in Signs over Macaulay.
Jeez.
Not really.
The Lost Boys, the pier where they actually filmed the beginning on and like the beach that they returned to, it's actually the exact same pier where they filmed Lost Boys.
Interesting.
A scene of Lost Boys, not all of Lost Boys.
Yeah. Interesting.
So then it also references Nightmare on Elm Street. Quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah. And I also thought an interesting callback was not actually in the DVDs, or I guess the VHSs, because this is the 80s. The Shining was actually, a lot of imagery was used from that, and I didn't realize it until I was, like, reading about it, because I didn't go see this twice, because I already paid $15 to go see this.
Also, Regal?
Boo.
We don't really like supporting Regal.
I haven't been to Regal. Tangent. I haven't been to Regal in, like, 2 years, and I went to go see this movie because I really wanted to see it. And it wasn't playing anywhere else very close to us. So I went to go see it. I paid like $15 to get in. And then I also bought concessions with Jane. And then I had like the worst 2 days after that. They were just terrible. I was having the worst day. Nothing was working out. And I was like, this is God punishing me for going to Regal. I know it is. I know it's God being like, you went against your own values, you hypocrite. And so I had bad days.
Yeah.
But The Shining, like, the baseball bat that Gabe carries.
Yes.
And also he walks with a limp because his...
Oh my God, he does. He does look like Jack.
Yeah,
oh my
God. And he
uses
the baseball bat.
That's
as, like,
so cool.
Isn't that crazy? And then also the creepy twins, which is like obviously
oh my God,
a callback.
Yeah.
Every type of twin movie is a callback to The Shining.
It's true. Most horror movies have callbacks to The Shining. But I didn't even notice that baseball thing.
That
That's really neat. I really like that.
I know.
Now that I'm thinking back about it, that really definitely looks like
Jack. It's the exact same limp.
Yeah.
And then also something, because I'm stupid, I'm sure everyone else noticed this, but I didn't notice it. The title, Us, is also U.S., like USA.
Mm.
Like it's, the movie's about the class system.
In the United States,
States. And, I think, honestly, that was one of the best parts of the movie was the metaphor was really, really well thought out.
Yes, incredibly well thought out.
But, and we'll talk about this when we get into the bad, what I thought was not so great about this film. I thought that the metaphor sometimes kind of overshadowed the actual plot.
Definitely, I agree.
And it created a lot of plot holes that I don't necessarily think would have been there if the metaphor had been less
prevalent.
Heavy-handed.
Yeah, I agree.
But I talked a lot, the movie talked a lot about the nature versus nurture debate, where, because the tethered are forced to live out the will of the untethered without any payoff, so they have to live, like, mockeries of the lives.
The
privileged live.
The lives that the privileged are living above ground, they're living the same life, but in just concrete,
exactly,
you know, and blocks.
Without any of the payoff, without... It's like we're living the shadow of a life because we're going through these motions of lives without really ever getting to live. And
without getting any further.
And also the movie has a lot of like consumerism in it.
Yes.
Like the boat.
He's so obsessed with I love that scene.
Gabe is so obsessed with the boat. And like for what? Like the last thing they need is a boat. It is all just about showing off to the neighbors and how we have to have a beach house and we have to do all these things. And the Howard sweatshirt, that's like a really privileged university for historically African-American candidates.
Yeah.
So it's like these people are living very, very privileged lives.
Yes.
Even within the upper
class. Yeah, they're pretty high up. And they obviously they live in a great house.
Yes,
they're very wealthy,
very atomic nuclear family. But yeah, so it really obviously is a lot about the idea that if people were given the same opportunities, we'd all be exactly the same.
Yeah, definitely.
It's
the sociological perspective.
And I think that obviously we don't really, really get that until the last bit of the movie where we realize that Red and Adelaide had switched places.
Ooh.
And
it was such a scary
that's when we realize like, oh, they really are just like us. Because obviously Adelaide, who is actually the tether, you can't even tell her apart from human, and she clearly does love her family. She clearly isn't a bad person.
Yeah, definitely.
But she was just so obsessed with the idea of climbing. And then there's also very heavy-handedness with the whole underground bunker, with the metaphor of the only down escalator, and if you want to get up, you have to take the stairs.
Yes,
it's very difficult. Also, the idea that
it's easy to fall but hard to climb.
It's easy to fall but hard to climb, and it's I know there's a lot of one of the main questions I have with this movie, and we'll talk about this more when I get into the bad, but I think it can be solved by the metaphor, honestly.
Yeah, I think most things are... The metaphor is so comprehensive.
Yeah, the metaphor solves it. The science in the movie doesn't necessarily solve it. Why didn't Red, a.k.a. the actual untethered... That's how I'm going to refer to them. Red is the untethered. Adelaide is the tethered.
Yes.
So why didn't Red just go back up? Because she knew how to get out.
Mm-hmm.
She was aware. And then someone said, like, oh, she didn't realize. She has that monologue or whatever, which says, when you started to dance, I found God.
Yeah.
And that's the moment she realized she was able to leave.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
At that point, it's like, it's not about revenge. It's about revolution. I think that's what this movie, if you think about that, that explains all of Red's motives, in my opinion, because
she is building everyone up.
She could have escaped.
Yes.
Honestly, she was so young. She probably didn't realize she could escape for a while, but she wasn't ultimately that old when she realized she could.
Yeah.
She honestly could have escaped, but she realized what was happening down here, and she realized that these were people just like we were people.
Yeah, they're the same kind of person, so they deserve to go up to the world.
Exactly. And so she didn't just want, she could have just gone up and killed Adelaide, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
If she wanted to, but she didn't want to do that. She wanted everyone who was oppressed to rise up.
Yes.
And to do that, they needed education and they needed a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why they continued. I think that's why she continued to live down there for as long as she did.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's the good.
I do have a question. I don't know. So the scene where we see like Adelaide dancing on the stage and then we see Red dancing in the bunker. can you break? I guess I don't understand it.
Okay. This is one of the bad things. We'll just hop right into it. How does the tether thing work? I'm unclear.
Yeah, I am
because
too.
Because, so the way it was explained, I've been trying to figure this out for hours. The way it was explained in the movie is, so the tethered were originally created by the government in an attempt to control the untethered.
Yes, okay.
They were supposed to control us. That failed. Mm-hmm. And instead, what ended up happening was that the untethered controlled the tethered.
Yes.
So
there are shadows, basically.
So there are shadows, yeah. And they're living these, like, shadows of a life,
yes,
essentially. So here's where the science starts to break down for me.
Okay.
That scene, because the main question that I have is, how did Adelaide escape if Red was in charge of her movements? How did any of the tethers ever plan a revolt if the untethered are in charge of their movement?
Uh-huh.
How could they have done that? And I understand it's like a... I'm very confused on the science there.
Yeah. So, the only thing I can think of is that she's like the chosen one, but still that doesn't explain the science. That just gives it a reason.
Yeah. I think that the dance... I think the whole dance scene might have been important because it was like... So Red... Or Adelaide. The reason she stops dancing is because she says she has an injury, which I'm assuming resulted from that dance, but that we never saw.
Yeah.
But then it seems as if Red maybe realized that they weren't entirely tethered and that maybe she was able to actually have some control. And maybe that's what she realized. She said when she found God, she realized that maybe we weren't as attached as we thought.
Yeah.
That is the only thing I can think of that solves that, is that the tethered and the untethered really aren't actually attached very much, or that it's very easy to sever that attachment.
So it's the idea that is keeping them down there, that they are tethered.
Yes.
And so they're like, well, I don't have any, I can't.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to.
And so I think when...
Which worked with the metaphor, definitely.
And I think also part of it too was, when Red stopped dancing, I'm not sure Adelaide did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I think that's why they kind of hailed her as their savior, because she didn't have to follow her tethers or her untethered movement, or her tethers movement, I guess. It's all very confusing.
But
very
Red Red is the original Adelaide, so she is untethered.
Exactly. She should be in charge.
Yes.
But it seems like, exactly, I think that the whole idea is that it's not about you guys are connected. It's about the idea that you think you're connected.
Okay.
It's about the idea that you think you have to follow what they do. Because, quite frankly, that is the only thing that explains any of the science.
Yeah.
Is that they are not actually tethered.
It's just the idea that they're told that they are.
Exactly. Because otherwise, I have so many questions. I literally have plot holes and then questions. How could the tethers have rebelled against the untethered if they were controlled by the tethered? Because if that were the truth, if they were completely controlled by the tethered, they never would have been able to do what they did.
Definitely.
Because they would have been forced to, I don't think that, because if they had been tethered, the tethers would have had to do everything that they did.
Yes.
Meaning they would have gone to bed when they went to bed. They would have never had time to learn the stuff
things that
they learned.
Yes.
Okay. Because I think that if they were actually tethered, if they were actually connected, then the tethered would have never been able to have the uprising that they did, because when it's like when the untethered were running away, they would have been running. Or when the untethered were blocking, they would have been blocking. When the untethered slept, they would have been sleeping. You know what I mean? It must have, my guess is it must have taken Red realizing that she actually wasn't tethered to Adelaide to teach everyone else that they were not actually tethered.
Yeah.
And the idea that this, like, this oppression that's on them is all just coming from above.
It's just constructed.
It's just constructed. And so I think that's got, in my opinion, that's the only thing that explains the plot holes.
I agree. And I think it plays into the idea of like revolution, because you think that you are, you know, by nature inferior. Mm-hmm. And then there's that recognition that, no, we're the same.
Exactly.
You know, and then rising up.
Exactly. So I also wrote, how did they get the stuff for the revolution? Or how did they get, like, scissors and
stuff?
You think
they already had the scissors? I don't know why.
I have no idea. There's just a lot of plot.
What are the scissors for?
Okay, actually, I think, and I talked about that, I talk about it in conspiracies, but honestly, I think the scissors are metaphorical.
Okay.
Because if you think about it, it's like two blades, one screw, one can't react without the other one reacting.
Okay.
Because ultimately, they could have used something a lot better than scissors to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's the idea of the tie.
Yes.
I think that's the only thing I
That's interesting because, you know, scissors can cut a tie.
Yeah, exactly.
They can cut the puppet strings. little puppet dance.
So what else did I write? I wrote that I think the twist should have been stronger.
Yeah.
I think that what I just came up with took me a lot of hours of digging and putting pieces together and like and lots of reaches. And it took me a lot of that to come up with what I just did, which I think sort of explains the movie.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of pieces that I'm like, I honestly have no idea.
And now we're giving it to you.
Yeah. So let me know.
You're welcome.
Let me know if you're smarter than me and you figured it out. But I think that, okay, personally, I liked Get Out a lot better than I liked this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because Get Out was a very similar theme, that theme of like privilege, that theme of oppression, mm-hmm. Except with race. And I think that Get Out, it's the metaphor along with the plot worked extremely well
yeah,
together.
The plot was like good on its own. The metaphor was great. And also it was so comprehensive. Exactly. There were no plot holes.
No. And it completely tied up a bow on it. And I think this felt a little bit more rushed, in mm-hmm. my opinion. It felt like it was kind of an attempt to capitalize on the success of Get Out while mm-hmm. he had it. Obviously, he's doing very well. He's got Twilight Zone.
I'm so excited about Twilight Zone.
Like a ton of, he's doing very, very well for himself. And he was
go
already,
Jordan Peele. That's
he was
so great.
Already doing well for himself. Like Key and Peele, they were obviously a very famous comedy duo.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this just felt like maybe it came out a little too fast.
Maybe they should have taken a couple year.
More years even.
Yeah.
To kind of work through some of those questions. I think maybe I think Jordan Peele wrote and directed this all on his own. I don't think he had any co-writers.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that maybe having some co-writers might have been beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Just someone to look at this and say, like, this doesn't necessarily read like you think it's reading.
And yeah, and whenever you write something, there's always going to be that, you know, you're not seeing things that other people
exactly.
see. Like, cause,
well, and it's like, if Jordan Peele, first of all, this could all just be bullshit that we're pulling out of nowhere. But if Jordan Peele, like, if this was already in his head, of course he's going to be seeing it.
Yeah, definitely. It's his vision.
Versus like, we didn't know anything about it going in.
Yeah, no, I'll sometimes forget to put things in a paper because I just think about them so much exactly. that I'm like, oh, it's in there.
Exactly.
They understand. They get it.
I said that it kind of felt like it was maybe set up for a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of hope it doesn't have one.
Yeah, I don't really like sequels very
much.
I don't really like
sequels for horror movies, especially.
Yeah, only if it's like a fun slasher. I mm-hmm. think that they're kind of fun.
But for actual plot,
this is like a drama driven. Uh-huh. This is a plot driven horror movie.
No, it's fun.
Yeah,
that's really the only bad thing I had to say about it. I know it seems like a lot of bad stuff, but that's just all the bad stuff I had to say about it.
Yeah, it was just the holes. But I do think that the metaphor is pretty comprehensive. But mm-hmm.
honestly, the holes don't really happen until the last 10 minutes.
That's true.
And until then, it's solid.
It's a great movie.
It's really good until then. So it kind of seems like we're ragging on it, but I still like it.
Oh, I love it. I thought it was really good.
You would still like
the writing was really good. Like the mm-hmm. dialogue was really believable. Obviously, the acting was just phenomenal.
Yes.
And I think everything was extremely well done.
Okay. You ready for the fun stuff?
I'm so excited about the conspiracies.
Okay. So conspiracies. Okay. I'm going to say I've seen this conspiracy literally everywhere, like on every single stupid blog. But I took all this information from Vox because it seemed to have the most comprehensive guide, in my opinion. So thank you, Vox.com. So the number one conspiracy that is really floating around right now, it originated on Reddit.
As they do.
As they all do. And it's that Jason and Pluto also switched. So
when he went into the wizard's cave.
I totally forgot to say this. This was in my references. I'll go ahead and say it now, but because we talked about Pluto, but the tether's names are actually references too, which is interesting because they don't really even say their names.
No, yeah, they'd only say them in the credits.
Mm-hmm. And so you're kind of like, why even give them names? Why not just call them Tether, Adelaide's Tether, Gabe's Tether? So that would certainly make it a lot easier to distinguish who's who. But so Abraham, which is Gabe's Tether, he is named after the Bible. Yes. Obviously, Abraham in the Bible, because he's a paternal figure who's told to sacrifice his son. And then when he doesn't, he's rewarded for it. Pluto, that's the little boy's tether. What's his name?
Oh, the little boy?
Jason. Jason. Jason's tether is Pluto. And Pluto is the god of the underworld.
Okay.
In Roman mythology, okay. Yes. And then also interesting is Umbre.
Which is the little girl?
Which is the little girl's tether. And so they describe her as like, they describe themselves as shadows of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And Umbre/Umbre, I can't remember how you say it, literally is what the darkest part of a shadow during the eclipse is called.
That's so spooky.
Yeah. So
what about red? Or is it just because she wears red?
I think it's just because she wears red.
Wow. Original. I like it. I wonder what Elizabeth Moss's
tether was. Tethers. I have no idea. I didn't see that. Okay. So the conspiracy is that Jason and Pluto also switched, and that the Jason that we know is actually the tether, and Pluto, so the kid in the freaky mask that crawls around, is actually the real Jason.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go ahead and give you all of the evidence that supports that, and then I'm going to give you all the evidence that maybe suggests that that's a reach. So if you guys remember, at the very end of the movie, Adelaide rescues Jason from the underground out of a locker where he was during the fight. So it's very possible that he heard everything that happened, and that it's implied that he probably knows that Adelaide or his mom is a tether.
Yes.
He realizes that the real Adelaide is actually living underground.
I definitely think the end scene.
I think he definitely realizes that.
For sure.
So he gives her a look, and then she looks at him and smiles, and he puts his mask down over his face. And that's the end.
Yes.
So this basically started because a Reddit user said that you could interpret that look to be that Jason is now aware of who his mother is and what she has done. A Redditor theorizes that it instead indicates that Jason himself has switched places with his tether. Oh no, my PC's running low. That Jason himself has switched places with his tether, just as his mother did. The boy known as Pluto is actually the human Jason, who swapped with Pluto sometime before the movie started. At the end, he has realized that his mother, at one point, has also switched bodies. She gives him a look almost like, I know what you know, and then he puts on his mask as a symbol of the masks they will now wear for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the evidence that supports this. Some of it pretty strong, some of it pretty weak. So the magic trick. This is the one that's kind of on every single blog post I saw.
Yeah.
So the movie says that Jason forgot his magic trick. So when we meet him, this is their second summer at this house, and he had gotten locked in that closet, if you guys remember.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about that, and it made him really scared, which is what a lot of people suggested. That's when he and his tether switched.
How does tether?
A lot of people said that the tether might have found the portal, and that Adelaide would have known the real Adelaide would have known where that house was.
Uh-huh.
And that she was sending him to go essentially see whether or not they still came.
Interesting. Okay.
So it says he forgot his magic trick. We learned that in the movie. And then it says, but what if he never actually forgot it, but when doing it successfully, he burned his face off in the process. So the actual real Jason did learn the magic trick and was attempting to do it one day in the closet, burned his face in the process.
Okay.
This would explain why the tether doesn't know how to do it, because he had only ever done it as a mimic of Jason's actions.
Yeah, because he didn't have the actual...
Because he never had the actual trick.
Yeah.
The theory is that Jason and Pluto switched sometime the summer before and the family didn't notice. Another one is that when they're on the beach right before Adelaide freaks out and makes them go home, Jason is building sand tunnels instead of sand castles. Ooh. So a lot of people think that that might be hinting that Jason is reminded of his home and he's writing it because he knows he's close. Another one that I thought was interesting, wasn't in a lot of other ones, is that Jason doesn't like to eat. So Jason doesn't eat with the rest of his family when they arrive at the beach house. Adelaide, who we actually find out is her tether, isn't eating the food either. We only see her eating strawberries, and the assumption is that she's a vegetarian because her diet of raw rabbit in the underground made her hate meat. So the lack of appetite could be a relic of growing up as a tether under the ground, and he's probably not a fan of anything that reminds him of eating raw rabbit. Then there's Jason's drawing. Adelaide sees the picture that Jason drew of the bloody man, so the tether of the man who was holding the Jeremiah 11:11 sign.
Mm-hmm.
Jason sees him after they've switched. If you remember, the guy has blood on his hands.
Yes.
And then later, Jason draws that. So it's a sign.
What is Jeremiah
11:11? I'll talk about that.
Okay, awesome.
Bit. So,
I'm a heathen. I don't know.
Yeah, I had to look it up. the picture that Jason draws of that man is actually a third person perspective, as it shows Jason's back and then the tether's back.
What?
So when you look at the picture, it's a picture of Jason looking at the tethered Jeremiah 11:11 man.
Mm.
So that Jeremiah 11:11 man has been killed.
Yeah.
By his tether. Which was also, I also think something this theory doesn't talk about, but I also thought kind of supported it, is the fact that Jason sees this man who clearly has blood on his hands and is standing, like, smiling towards the sun, and he doesn't freak out at all.
Yeah, that would be a tethered thing to do.
Exactly. If you knew what's happening, you realize that, oh, this is starting.
Yeah.
That's why you maybe wouldn't freak out.
He's sitting there waiting for Hands Across America, right?
Yes. Yeah. Is.
Okay.
He's the first person that comes out of the tunnel to kill his tether.
Okay.
The 11:11 man, because he's right there. So it's actually, he draws it in a third person perspective where he's watching the tethered man. Someone's watching him watch the tethered man, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Third person.
Yeah.
This might show that it's drawn from Pluto's point of view, or how the switch Jason sees himself as in not inhabiting his own body.
That's interesting.
Jason's cursing. I think this is fairly weak, kind of a reach. I thought it was just supposed to be funny, but all right. Somebody said, Jason says, kiss my anus instead of kiss my ass, which could indicate that he's having a hard time picking up the above ground language. I think it's just supposed to be funny.
Because he was probably told, like, don't say ass. And then he's like, anus is fine.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to do.
Here's another one. Pluto doesn't have shears. Pluto is the only tether that doesn't brandish or use his shears. He also never tries to kill Jason. Unlike all the others, Pluto doesn't seem to want to harm Jason. Instead, he grabs Jason's hand to show him how to do the magic trick, which Jason performs for the first time on screen.
Mm.
Which also kind of ties back to the magic trick thing, which is
not knowing how to do it.
Pluto knows how to do the magic trick.
Yeah.
That's
good. That's a good. Yeah. That's good.
The other thing, Jason picks up what's happening first. When his family's doppelgangers appear, Jason is the first one to realize it's us. Fans say this may indicate that he knows little more than he lets on and is sensitive to who the tethers are. Okay, Jason's control over Pluto. Honestly, again, the tether thing is very confusing to me.
Yes.
So this in some ways is a really strong theory, and in other ways I think it's really weak, mostly because I'm unsure of how the tethered thing works. In the final act of the movie, Jason walks Pluto into the fire and seemingly kills him. We also learn that the tethers were created one day to control humans. No other human in the movie has this command over their tether like this, signaling that the switch Jason is truly a tether since he could ostensibly control his human.
Hmm.
That's the number one big thing, is that Jason, aka the Jason that we know, as Jason, must be a tether because he can successfully control Pluto.
Okay.
And if the tethers and the untethered aren't tethered at all, then neither of them would be able to control the other.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it could be a sign that the untethered actually do have some control over the tethered.
Yeah.
Or something that I think it could kind of be is maybe it was just a trap.
Yeah.
And maybe Red realized she had to sacrifice Pluto in order to get Jason in order to kill Adelaide.
Gotcha.
I kind of think it was just kind of a...
It's a little bit of a reach, I think.
A deus ex machina.
Yeah,
right? Or just an ex machina. I always say deus ex machina, but that means like God helps. Just ex machina. Jason can't snap to the beat. So the theory has a few variants, but the gist is that the tethered Jason can no longer snap his fingers effectively in order to perform his favorite fire trick because he's tethered and he's delayed. This ties into the argument because Adelaide is snapping off the beat to 5 on it in the car scene because she's similarly delayed. It is also tied to the Jason has a bad memory / is unfamiliar with the house thread.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're playing 5 on it in the car and Adelaide's like, just try snapping to the beat. She's not snapping on the beat at all. She's snapping not on the downbeat.
Yeah.
So it's like, why?
Yeah, because they're...
Because she's delayed in her reaction. And it's essentially the thought. Listen, this tethered thing just really doesn't make sense. It's like there's so much evidence that's like, look, they're not the same. But then it's like...
But they are.
How did they do...
That's the whole point. They're the same people.
So then the last kind of point is that Jason just has trouble focusing.
Mm-hmm.
On the beach, after Kitty's twins knock down his tunnels, they comment to Zora that her brother is weird, to which she replies that he just has trouble focusing. From everything we've seen, the tethers are focused as hell, but if you were a recently freed tether, your disorientation might translate as a lack of focus, much as Adelaide's did when she was released.
And also in that scene, Adelaide says, sometimes I have trouble talking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very much like, I'm a tether.
And that's also, Jason has a lot of, he's very quiet.
Yeah.
And then it says, this line has been mentioned frequently as a clue indicating that something is different about Jason. So now, playing devil's advocate, let's debunk this theory.
Debunk.
So Jason can only control Pluto, not the other way around. The single biggest reason that the Jason is a tether theory falls apart is that it would fundamentally undermine too many of the established facts about the film's world.
Mm-hmm.
This is because in the scene where we see Jason deliberately exit the car and walk backwards, he is clearly able to control Pluto. I said, the physics in this world don't really make sense, though. Because if the tethers control the untethered, how can the untethered complete a rebellion? Why is the real Adelaide not able to escape?
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's working for the metaphor.
Yeah, that's it.
Everything's just a pawn for the metaphor, which is not necessarily always the best thing.
Yeah, I agree. The metaphor is so... well-developed.
Yeah. Okay, so the other one. Pluto's face is really burnt.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Pluto's scarring is real. We have enough evidence to understand that it's due to the many burns he received over time caused by the delays from Jason playing with fire. The only way Pluto's burns make any logical sense is that, as a tether, Pluto couldn't control either his own motions or the delayed reactions of the fire down below. I said this is a really big one for me because it doesn't really make sense that if Jason... would have burned his face that his family wouldn't have noticed if he was switched.
Mm.
Like, he would have had to have burned his face and then immediately been switched.
Yeah.
So, also says in the movie that he burned himself because of Jason's magic trick.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have magic, he had a match.
Okay.
Pluto can't control his walk backward into the fire, but the real untethered Jason could and would have. This seems self-explanatory. Pluto couldn't control his movement into the fire, but if a swap Jason had been ordered back into the fire, he would have been able to resist, because as the original untether, he would have been able to control his movements. Unless, like I said, it's a trap. Because, unless it's part of a larger trap.
So confusing.
It's so confusing. Jordan Peele, you should have thought your movie out better.
Should have made one of those conspiracy boards.
This is a pretty good one, too. Pluto doesn't speak English. Jason does.
That's a really good one.
This piece of the puzzle has several implications, so let's unpack them. We know that Red is the only one of the tethers who can speak English. Neither of her children nor her husband do.
Mm-hmm.
Jason is still young, but he clearly speaks English well. If Jason had been kidnapped to the underground within the last couple of years, then when he came to the surface with the others, he would still be able to speak and say that he'd been abducted, but he can't. I said, that's a pretty big one. The movie's whole message gets distorted if Jason is a tether. While the Jason's a tether theory is fun, it also undermines a lot of what's richest about this movie's symbolism. Jason's fun magic results in Pluto's horrible disfigurement because Jason is an untether and Pluto isn't. The whole point of this revelation is to shore up Jordan Peele's point about class and systematic inequality, specifically how the underprivileged are all too often disproportionately and devastatingly affected by the behavior and motions of the wealthy. Since the ramifications of their actions don't affect them, but rather the masses of people and classes below them, the wealthy often have no reason to care about the impact of their behavior on other people, just as Jason doesn't understand until he comes face to face with what's on the other side of his game.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I like
again,
that.
I think that's the biggest reason I have to think that.
Because then the metaphor doesn't work and it's all about the metaphor.
Exactly.
That's the point of the movie, exactly. I think.
It kind of undermines the entire point.
Yeah.
If that's true. So fun theory, but I doubt it is true.
Yeah, me too.
There's a lot. Just now onto some more. I wouldn't call it conspiracies, but more Easter eggs, because I think these ones are a lot more real. Almost definitely true.
Awesome.
Duality, huge theme.
The duality of man.
I think that's a huge theme in this movie.
For sure.
Along with the privilege.
Class system.
I think that is, we already talked about this, but I think that's the reason they use scissors.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it's like two sides, two edges. They both cut, though. There's a lot of mirrors in this thing. Not to mention just the entire tethered, untethered thing, which is they look exactly like us, but they're different.
Yeah.
I wrote the tethered, duh. Okay, and then also this is a really big one, and we're coming up on the 11-11. This is like my last big Easter egg slash part of the duality thing. 11-11 is literally everywhere in this movie.
Okay.
So the sign that the guy holds... Mm-hmm. Is Jeremiah 11:11. Jeremiah 11:11 is a verse about God bringing wrath to a group of people that won't be able to escape.
Oof. That's bleak.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. Let me see if I can
find that Old Testament stuff.
Yeah. I have no fucking idea.
Oh, I have no clue either. But anything like really dark, I think
I think it is Old Testament.
Anything like really dark, I assume is Old Testament.
I'm gonna read. People were
pretty brutal when that was written.
Yeah, they were. They were like, look, you better not sin or you're going to hell.
Yeah.
Jesus had died.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. This is the actual verse, King James Version. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them.
Whew.
So
Ice cold, honestly.
But honestly, it's very interesting because the... twins, the doppelgangers, if you think about it, they've been crying and begging for years, and the government didn't listen to them, the people above didn't listen to them, and now it's like they're bringing the wrath of God onto the people above.
Yeah, that's
and
really
it's quite literally physical, because like the untethered don't speak really. Mm-hmm. They have a language clearly.
Yeah, the grunting and growling is a language for sure. And also that's interesting because whenever Adelaide, sometimes she'll like growl, like at the end, whenever she like killed that lady and she's like growling because she's speaking her own language.
Exactly.
That's her original language.
Exactly. And two, Red actually learned that language.
Oh, yeah.
So she could teach, because she speaks to her family in that language and tells them to go or whatever she says to them. I don't speak the language, so I don't know. It's made up.
The masks. What do they? I mean, I know that they mean like, oh, we're wearing masks. Like,
I think, honestly, I don't know. I think that is probably what it is.
Yeah, it's just we're wearing masks of what we are, I guess. I don't know.
The Thriller T-shirt prize is prize 11-11.
Interesting.
Yeah. The clock in the house. So when he draws the picture of the Jeremiah 11:11 guy, mm-hmm. And she sees it and she looks at the clock because it's time 11, for his 11. Bed. It's 11:11. Because right after that is when she's like, there's too many coincidences. And then when Gabe was watching the Giants game, the score was tied 11-11.
Ooh.
So not only is Jeremiah 11:11, which is the sign on the thing.
But it's also a mirror of each other.
Yes, it is. So, the 11:11 is quite literally a mirror of each other. And mm-hmm. the Jeremiah 11:11 is obviously the verse is very like, woo, dark.
Ooh.
But aside from that, 11:11 actually has a spiritual significance.
Isn't it like you make a wish?
Well, I think that's like a superstition or something. But in numerology, the number 11:11 represents the twin, or the number 11 represents the twin flame. Twin flames, not to be confused with soulmates, is the belief that everyone has a spiritual doppelganger. Twin flames may appear different on the outside and have different personalities based on upbringing, but at their core, they're the same. 11 also represents a spiritual gateway or portal into the spirit world, which is why you can make a wish on it. So it's meaningful that in us, 11s are shown right before we see the tethered come through their world into ours.
That makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. That's really cool.
Yeah. That's my last, like, big Easter egg or whatever that's in there.
That's so cool.
I know. Isn't this movie so... It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It has some holes, but it's really... I liked watching it a lot. I thought it was so fun.
Yeah, and like I said, the holes don't come till the end. Mm-hmm. So your ride is pretty enjoyable.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, your ride's pretty enjoyable through the whole thing. It's really only at the after you leave that you're kind of like...
It's more just confusing than like mm-hmm. upsetting, I think. Yes. It's more like, huh.
Yes, I... Huh. It's... There's a lot of stuff going on with it, but I really, really liked it.
Me too. It was so scary.
I know. You know what I didn't do? I didn't look up an IMDb review. I'm gonna right now.
Do
and
it.
It'll just be, you know, on the air. I wonder if there are any really right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure.
Okay. It has a 7.4 out of 10.
Yeah. I saw that. It was really good. Find a good one?
Yeah. I think I did. It's really short.
Oh, I like it. Let's do it though.
Okay. I have three. I guess I have two because they're both really, really short.
Okay.
Both of them are 3 out of 10s. This first one says, actually bad. So good. It says, all this movie wants you to do is go on the internet afterward and read 75 million different theories people have about it. Also, to call this movie a horror movie is comical. Dumbest movie I've seen in a while.
Wow.
To be fair, that's what we did.
Yeah.
The next one. 3 out of 10, I pretty much laughed the entire movie, and not in a good way. All I can say is, cringe, cringe, cringe. The demonic voices and terrible plot made me laugh and die a little inside the entire movie. That's all I have to say. Way overrated film.
First of all, it wasn't a demonic voice. It was just that she hadn't talked
in a while. I know.
And her voice was all gravelly from growling and stuff.
Oh, this one's really long. I like the title of it, though. It says, let's be honest, if it wasn't Jordan Peele, you would have walked out of the theater.
Well, okay, if it wasn't Jordan Peele and Lupita Nyong'o wasn't in it, yes.
Yeah, a lot of people do not like the voice.
I would have stayed.
A lot of people do not like the voice that she did. That's like the most common thing I'm finding so far.
That was good.
But a lot of people said that the acting was really good. The plot was kind of garbage. Honestly, pretty much all of them that are bad are about that, and all the good ones are, we liked it.
Nice.
Wow, some of these mean ones are, I'm getting into the really mean ones.
Oof. All right, what's your rating for it?
Ooh, I think, I guess I'll give it like a 7.5.
Okay.
I liked it, and honestly, it's a really good ride, but I think that the plot holes and how confusing it is really drops it from being a great horror movie to just a good horror movie.
I agree. I agree. If it had been more comprehensive and maybe spent a little bit more time on it, I think that maybe it would have been closer to like a 9.
I think so, too. Because honestly, that's about what I'd rate Get Out as.
Oh, yeah.
Like a 9. And I think that this movie had a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it was just not all the way thought out.
I just want to say that the acting bumps it like 3 or 4 points.
Oh, yeah. If you change the actors, I would not be.
Nope, me either. Lupita, she's a queen.
Yeah. All right. So the Flick Chicks podcast has social media, as you guys know. Or maybe you don't know, but now you do.
Yeah.
Social media. We do have Instagram. It's at the Flick Chicks. At the Flick Chicks. That's
yes,
it.
Yes.
I made these all with different names because I'm a dumbass. So I have to remember them all. And Twitter is at Flick Chicks Pod. We do have a Gmail account at the Flick Chicks Podcast at gmail.com. If you want to send us movie suggestions, please do. We really want to do what you guys want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to do what we want to do, though. So don't get mad if we don't pick you. at all the people who want us to do Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
Maybe it'll happen, but not right now.
Not right now. It's a little too much this early, I think.
Too dense.
Too dense, indeed.
And yeah, if you guys are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review. It really, really helps. Share us with your friends. And also, on our Flick Chicks podcast page, please, on Facebook, please go I forgot to mention that we have Facebook.
Oh, yeah. It's called the Flick Chicks podcast. We just do discussions on there. We'll do polls, ask you questions. You can ask us questions.
Yeah. And I think this is a great movie for you guys to leave. What do you think about some of these conspiracies? What do you think about the movie? It feels very polarizing.
Definitely. We'll post something, a prompt on there after we release the episode. And you guys can, you know, we'll open the discussion for you guys.
Yeah.
Yay.
So, thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.